recap of last week's message to put it in proper perspective. We were talking about the enigmatic veiling. And I open up telling you what the word enigma means. We said it was something hard to understand or explain. An inscrutable, a mysterious person. I gave you an example or two and some words, quoted some words from the New York Times, an author from the New York Times. But what we need to look at also, as this week unfolds, and all this is a part of our lives, we need to look at our vice president. I think that's one of the larger enigmas that we have. It's not so much our president at this time, but that we as a people have to be aware of our associations. We have to be aware of our associations. And we talked last week about Balaam and Balak, and I considered Balaam and Balak this week as listing our political scenes. And I told you, we have to operate and know that religion and politics is what caused Judah to go into bondage. Because what happened, you got carnal people, you got people that wasn't truly after serving God, but was self-willed people, but that people that was not converted, but that they had a show of convertedness. Being converted. Balaam talked with God just as a lot of people in the church and in religion nowadays, and they use a lot of religious language and they have an outward appearance of being religious. Our vice president, there's a lot of places that he talked against alcohol and different things, and he lived a very supposedly religious life. But I think as in the aspect of Balaam, he's a cloudy individual to y'all who hadn't studied. To y'all who are not studying, is not listening at the news media and saying, don't listen at what these people are saying. Look at their actions. Look at what they're doing. I don't know how in the thick of the game a lot of us are, but that we're not preparing for the kingdom of God. In this battle that's looming, how involved you are in this battle, I hadn't felt the pull of a hunger this week. And that pull normally comes from the congregation. That pull comes from the people in the world. That's how the churches or the preachers preach, is that someone's out there praying to God and asking God to speak to their heart, to open up their understanding today, that they can see how this is going. As a coach of the football team, any kind of type of team or whatever, what that coach is doing, he's looking at the air aspect. You know, what kind of offensive game can he have in the air? I'm looking at our prayer life. That's our air game. Are we on controlling the airwaves to God with prayer? Are we watering it with prayer to God, asking God to lead us and guide us? Those that are not trained in watching football or whatever, they follow the ball, and that could be misleading a lot of times. A good back quarterback, coach that coached the backs and everything, remember coach string and a coach tail, and a few coaches would tell you, you keep your eye on that fullback, most of the time he's going to take you to where that ball is. If you try to follow the ball, a lot of times you look upfield and look at the wrong place. All the actions going on the offensive and defensive line, the guards and the tackles and everything, that's where the action is going. That's where the game is won or lost at. You can have a Barry Sanders or someone that has raw talent that's naturally good. It's a good runner, and he can accomplish a lot by himself, but he needs that offensive line. He needs that guard and that tackle, the tight end. He needs that fullback blocking for him. We're in a time and a day and age where the preacher, Even though he have talent of preaching or talking, he needs his deacons. He needs his choir. He needs his members of the church. And that's what Spurgeon says. When he was preaching, he had people in the basement of his church praying. I don't know how many are waking up each day praying for the pastor, praying for one another. That's the most vital part. Those that are sitting out there, listen at this. What kind of prayer game are you doing? Are you praying consistently? Are you studying God's word? Are you doing something else during the daytime? Does television have you occupied? Does work has you occupied? What are you serving? Well, you have to be studying the word of God to show yourself approved, where you can rightly divide the word of truth, because you have enigmatic people, in other words, that's clouding the issue. You have Satan's ministers being transformed into angels of light. You have people that's out there and coming in the churches. And you thinking that everybody that calls Jesus' name or quote a few scriptures and things is all right, and you're not ready that sooner or later we have to kill the wolves. We have to cause these divisions. We have to bring about the sword of the word of God. We have to put the word of God down. That's the rod. That what proceeded out of the mouth. That's where we have to win this battle with is the word of God. We know how to wield the word of God. And that's what he had against the church. He was telling the church that you have those among you that hold to the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. If you would see this doctrine creep up from through Smyrna, it advanced in Pergamos. It was flagrant in Thyatira to where the women had even started teaching and preaching. This thing was prevalent in the Laodicean church, and it's like a cancer. Once you allow sin in, those men of old who are ordained to be to this condemnation, those that are destined for hell, you come in and you allow them to come in because they look religious. They look and have a show of piety. That's what Balaam was. And Balak, I look at our president's more or less being like Balak instead of Balaam, and that our vice president is more like Balaam, because I think as things go, we may not have to worry much about the president. He may not be in there very long. I don't think he knows everything that's going on over there. As Mark Cuban had said, it may be just that he's being used by the others. He don't understand. He just loved the grandiosity of standing in the acclamations that's being put forth. But the real power is in religion. You can have a problem if our vice president takes over. That's when the church have a problem, when Satan's ministers are transformed into angels of light. That's why Jesus' statement, he says, then at last they understood that he wasn't speaking about the yeast and bread, but about the deceptive teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Here he is, he committed his people and told them to look, do what the Pharisees say. In other words, the preaching and the teaching, those are your preachers and your teachers and your leaders, he said, but don't do as they do. In other words, they're preaching the word of God, but they're hypocrites. In their doctrine, what they're teaching you and telling you contains leaven. I've almost backed away from, you know, I told you, I never listen really at speeches and things that's going on from this administration. You have to be aware, because they're bringing that religion is ever more prevalent. And I like that thing that he signed the other week, because now the churches could venture into politics very deeply, and it was his own words, his own signature that brought that forth. Whether you recant or back or not, that's to be seen, because he really can't be trusted. And there are people in the church that can't be trusted. There are people that are preaching or teaching the gospel that can't be trusted. There are people in your homes, there are people you're related to and on your job that can't be trusted. Jesus, as a matter of fact, he says, woe be unto him that put his confidence or trust in man. You got a problem if you hoping that man's going to get you out of this fix you in. You got a problem when you start leaning toward man and trusting in man. You have to take this thing and say you're not unworthy to do this yourself, but that God is worthy. Revelations, we read last week, it says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast, there are them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." He's going to fight against those that's in your church, that's among your midst, that has this doctrine. Now, when he said them, he's inclusive, including those who also go along with this doctrine. In other words, the one that are being used, the ones that are being duped, because he says, he doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants you to know the word of God. And with fear and trembling, you're supposed to work out your own salvation. You can't be dependent upon your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, or anyone else. It is you Christ died for. You're responsible. You can't blame anyone else. If you lost, it's your problem. If you're out there dangling and wandering around, that's your problem. See, he died so that you can boldly come before the throne of grace and receive forgiveness of sin and petition him. So don't do like some churches and put it all on the priest and go sin and everything and then go ask and say, "Father, forgive me, I've sinned," confessing your sin to man or whatever and leaving it up to the priest or somebody else. You need to be before God yourself. The wife and the husband, that's where the split comes, because it says submit yourself unto one another. So don't let your husband use that scripture on you wives, telling you that he's the boss and he's over his own household. He's on his own now when it comes to salvation. He can't cause you to fall. A lot of these women have to get away from the men. See, that was the problem with Balaam and Balak. They don't tell you such a specific counsel, but what Balaam counseled Balak was to have a religious gathering, have a feast, and have these women and things to seduce these men to go into them, because he couldn't curse. Religiously, you can't be cursed if God had blessed you, but you can trip yourself up. You can trip yourself up. You can put that noose around your own throat by the lust that resides in you. That thing that resides in your member. And it's not just sexual. He used sexuality, fornication, or adultery, because it would be the most repulsive. That sin would be the most repulsive and open. But it could be any of these sins. Okay? Sin is sin. Let no man deceive you. Sin is sin is sin. That second point we were on was the judgment of God. The judgment of God. He says, "I will fight against them." That's verse 16. "Therefore, repent, change your inner self or your way of thinking, your sinful behavior. Seek God's will. Yes, I'm coming to you quickly, and I will make war and fight against them with the sword of my mouth." In other words, by the words of your own mouth, you're going to be condemned. That's which proceeded from you. If you've been going back, listening, reviewing what these people say, their own mouths are what's condemning them. Your own words are what's condemning you. And you make a vow to God, or you pledge, or you say you will live for God, but you live contrary to God, then you condemning your own self. If you said, "I'm not worthy, but I'm in your hands, Lord," but then you fight against it, it's no use taking the communion, because all this could do is make you sick. All this could do is bring death into your life. All this could do is bring more problems into your life. Because if you examine yourself and see that you're not worthy and that he's worthy, he says, then take up your cross and deny yourself and follow after me. But if you start trying to gain the things of the world and through your pleasures as Balaam did. Now Balaam went away quoting everything God said, and he told Balak that he couldn't speak but that what God had told him to speak. But it was his internal attitude. It was his disposition. He was trying to cajole or bribe God. He wasn't doing as God said, because God had told him not to go. As in the book of Hebrews, he says, lay aside every weight and sin that's besetting you from this race. So what God warns you to do, don't go around doing things that might turn you or take you farther than you want to go. Sin will carry you farther than you want to go before you know it. And it's already murky enough figuring out this world. But when you not mortifying the deeds of the flesh, when you not doing exactly what God tells you to do, you can end up on the Broadway. That Broadway of destruction, where the preachers are preaching the word of God, but they're not preaching it with a sharp edge on it, telling you that this also could bring death. Everything is lawful, but everything is not expedient. I wouldn't tell you to do these things. You can run from God, but you cannot hide. You can run from the things in life, but judgment is inevitable. Numbers, the 31st chapter, 7 through the 16th verse. They attacked Midian as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they kill all the men, all the five Midianite kings. Eva, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba died in the battle. They also killed Balaam, son of Beor, with the sword. Balaam was saying he wanted to die the death of the righteous, but he didn't live the life of the righteous. Everybody wants to die in the church. Everybody wants to die a Christian, where people say he fought a good fight. But did you live like the devil? How was you living while you was alive? How was your life lived? Was it in obedience to God, or was it like Balaam, always twisting God's word for your own benefit, for your own pleasure? Are you walking so close and you want to know where's the edge so you can walk as close as possible? You want to wait to that very last day, like the thief on the cross, in chains to go in the kingdom of God. But today is the day of salvation. You need to be prepared now. So when God issues that warning, he's going to kill Balak. And Balak was a symbol of someone that, you know, the Moabites and the Midianites is a symbol of flesh. It's a type of the flesh or whatever. But you know, they didn't have anything to worry about, because they were kin to Israelites, and God had already told them, the Israelites, that they couldn't have any of Moab's land or do anything with it. You see, a lot of time God has always made a way for us, but we're so self-sufficient and wanting to make our own way that God destroys you because of the covetousness and the lust that lie within your members. See, that's the thing about this nation. God has blessed this nation so much. And this nation is just like Israel and Judah was. They consistently love sin, and it has become a den of thieves. It's become Babylon the great harlot. It has become a beast world system that has to be destroyed. Just as Jerusalem was destroyed, that this nation has to be destroyed in a similar manner. Notice that he took all of the wealthy people were killed. All of the aristocrats, all of the ones in government that were leading, all of the religious leaders, because they thought that they were God's people under his umbrella, and they could do anybody any kind of way, that they could use deception through religion. And God has to answer that. There's no answer for this nation. Only God's sword is left. Only God's judgment hangs over this nation. Then the Israelite army captured the Midianite women and children and seized their cattle and flocks and all the wealth as plunder. They burned all the towns and villages where the Midianites had lived, and they had gathered the plunder and captives, both people and animals. And they brought them all to Moses and Eleazar the priest, and to the whole community of Israel, which was camped on the plains of Moab beside the Jordan River across from Jerusalem. Moses and Eleazar the priest and all the leaders of the community went to meet them outside the camp. But Moses was furious with all the generals and captains who had returned from the battle. "Why have you let all the women live?" he demanded. "These are the very ones who followed Balaam's advice and caused the people of Israel to rebel against the Lord at Mount Peor. They are the ones who caused the people to plague to strike the Lord's people. So kill all of the boys and all of the women who have had intercourse with a man." In other words, all of the people that had any associations, that would mean even if your president was removed from the throne, that you'd need to kill that vice president also because it was through his advice. This week, the president came out yesterday, I think it was, and said he don't want any of these people speaking for him anymore. He thinks he'll speak all the press conferences and briefings himself. Well, you need a team, but he's throwing his team to the side because the team can't be counted on to say the right things. That should tell us something. Once this so-called religious man, our vice president's supposed to be a beacon of religion, and his own leader can't trust the words he say. The media can't trust what he says. He's consistently lying for this man. The devil wants to get you to where you're lying and covering for him. In other words, people can see that your religion is in vain. Balak seen that Balaam's religion was in vain because he was trying to get Balaam to do something that even Balaam himself had said that his God had told him not to do. Well, what are you doing here trying to trip them up? And your God told you not to. What association should you have for me? We shouldn't be unequally yoked. If we've heard some of the words and things these people in the nation have said, as Hillary Clinton has said, that's a deplorable people. That percentage of the people are deplorable. Whether it's women, children, 8 to 80, blind, crippled, or crazy, all of them has to go. When this nation comes to that point, don't try to pass the buck because God's people need to stand up. You either in or out. You either fully committed to God. Don't be ambiguous. Don't be an enigma trying to serve God and it's cloudy and murkable and you have these inscrutable and you have these scandalous ways, but yet still you say you're holy. You say you're a person of God. He says, come out of Babylon. Come out of her, my people. Come out of the world. Either you're with God or you're not. If you're friends of the world, you're enemy of God. It's just that plain and simple. You can't have it both ways. Balaam was trying to have it both ways. It says at one time after he did this, that he had got on his donkey and went back to his place. Balak had told him to go back to his place. But it seems as though somewhere along the line, Balaam says, I'm missing the money. I need to go where the money and the power and the prestige is. Have our governor from Indiana went where the power and prestige is being vice president? That he would allow Christianity to be put to open shame? A man that says he has all these things, but you're in cahoots with someone with such character as this Balak? Would it be? Action speaks louder than words. The church is the women here is a type of the church. It's a type of what religion says. That's why we talked last week in Revelation 17 and 18 chapter about Babylon, the mother of harlots. This nation is what caused people to deviate. It's about capitalism. It's about money. It's about material things. And they've caused the whole world to drink of their fornication, of their adulterous ways. In other words, mixing religion in the things of this world under guise of being a Christian nation. God has to destroy that which has corrupted. That which has caused to be corrupted, that has allowed itself to be corrupted. You understand those things. He's going to destroy the object of the person which came in sin or caused sin. Just like he used Assyria to destroy his people in the book of Isaiah, he said Assyria was the axe in his hand that he wielded against his people. Once you destroy the threat, then you destroy that which you used to get away to rid the threat. The weapon that you use to destroy the evil, then you destroy that weapon. Satan is only a tool put there to test you. Satan is put here to bring your character out and who you actually are. Satan is not the ruler of you. If you're a child of God, Satan is not what rules and controls you. Satan is not over hell. People say Satan is the ruler over hell. Satan and hell will be cast into the flaming pit of the lake that burns with fire. Satan's going to be shown to be just like you, a fallen people, a fallen individual, spiritual entity. You understand that? Satan is just a tool that God's using to prove his people and to build character in them. That's what he told Satan. There's Job. Try Job. It was only to test Job with. This world is here only to test your character and see what you truly made of. That's the only way we can know who you are or what you are if we put you in that situation. What are you under pressure? What are you on? Will you turn into a harlot? Will you seduce or sell your body for money to make a living? At what point do you keep your integrity? Job was a man, though his health and everything else, though he lost his children and all of his wealth, he kept his integrity. We see Christians nowadays that lose that integrity. If that lottery gets to a certain point, that the sum total of how much money it is cause people that ordinarily don't buy a lottery ticket to buy because it's just the idea of winning that much money. I normally spend $20 to $30 on lottery tickets, but now it's up to $3 billion. I'll spend $1,000 so I have more chances. And without the common sense to know, the greater the chances, the greater the odds. The larger the amount of money, the greater the odds you win. Satan uses that vice against you because it's something in man that's covetous and greed, and God is trying to burn that out of you, but you won't listen. Balaam wouldn't listen, and this donkey starts speaking to Balaam, and here it is, a donkey speaking to you, and you don't even realize this is happening. You go up to buy a ticket. You go up to do these things. The machine broke or something. But you know, you go wait. You go come back out there. You go get that. Sometimes God tries to put obstacles in your way, but you keep fighting against those obstacles. Balaam was fighting to get to where he wanted to be. And he wanted to be in the midst of fulfilling his greed, his covetousness. Judgment against the false women, against those prophets. He says, only the young girls who are virgins may live and you may keep them for yourselves. Now you see, wasn't anything wrong with the Moabites, right? He said that the ones who was virgins, in other words, the ones who wasn't guilty, because David's parents was Moabites. We remember Ruth was a Moabite. So it's nothing wrong with the people, but it's the actions of the people. Some of them live, some die. Some of your brothers and sisters and parents, children, relatives or whatever, this ain't no good. They're not going to make it. You have to be faithful to God, though. That's your problem. You need to be faithful to God. You let God judge everything else. Judgment. He says in the book of Ezekiel, he says, now, son of man, speak out against the women who prophesy from their own imagination. This is what the sovereign Lord says. What sorrow awaits you women who are ensnaring the souls of my people, young and old alike? You tie magic charms on their wrists and furnish them with veils. Do you think you can trap others without bringing destruction on yourself? You bring shame on me among my people for a few handfuls of barley or a piece of bread. By lying to my people who love to listen to lies, you kill those who should not die, and you promise life to those who should not live. Here you doing something that's contrary to God's word. You suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. You knew what the truth is, and this person should die, and you granting a reprieve to this. You are partaker of this, and you don't think that God's going to kill you also? See, that sympathy is thrown out the window when you're talking about, oh, that woman or that child. That's an evil and wicked soul that God's looking at. That's a sinful soul. We need to get to the position to where the word of God is in our life to where we hate our own life. That we hate those things that we do that are not pleasing unto God. And that needs to be burned out of us. No matter what the cause said, and a lot of us be whining and crying, why this happening to me, and why this? Because you won't let go of something that's in you. There's a problem when God keeps pressing on you and you won't let it go. And either your nature is good, and God's nature will cast that old nature out, but it's not going to die in this life. You have to be circumspect. You have to be careful what you place in your life. You have to be careful. Self-will, presumptuous was Balaam. And that's how we are today. Outward appearances and forced morality doesn't work. That's why God showed us the law, and the law couldn't work, because this has to be voluntary and on your part. You notice that they're changing a lot of laws and all this. If you read in the book of Daniel, this was coming, and they will come against God's people. There are a lot of righteous people that are going to go down at this time. But you have to just go down with the ship if it's necessary. But believe me, the ship won't sink. The gates of hell won't prevail against God's people. That person that do you something, you'll stand in that day of resurrection. But that person will be cast away for that second death. Don't fear for your own life. God has given you a charge to guard the doctrine. Guard the teaching. Guard your heart. Guard what you hear. Guard your eyes. Be careful and don't become dull of hearing. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. I was about to say, huh, rhetorically. She said it for me. Listen to that again. No one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. It's weak through the flesh. Life didn't come through the law. He couldn't give you a law that could give you life. You could obey all of the laws and yet not have life. Search the Old Testament. It's not there. The faith, the life comes in Jesus Christ. That can be your only refuge. That can be your only source. It's not something you've done. You can give your life to be burned. You can die for Jesus. You can feed all of the needy. I can preach from this day until I get 90 years old. But a work ain't the same. Being baptized, my trust and dependence on Jesus Christ is what's going to save. Not anything that I have done. I'm trusting on Jesus and Jesus alone. Nothing we can do can save us. Now you understand what I'm saying? It's nothing, no law. And he who said that they can keep the law, you got to keep the whole law. If you violate it in any point, you violated the whole law. That's why Jesus Christ came. It's because he was going to do something we couldn't do. He was the only one able to keep the law. And when he kept that law, God says, you can murder. What? He gave his son to be crucified, to be brutally murdered at the hands of thieves and at the hands of evil and wicked men, because that's the way he designed this. He gave his only begotten son that we would have trust in his work, in the finished work of Christ. That's where our faith lies. He has to come in and birth you in the trusting in the new covenant that you will inherit eternal life through him and all the earth and the fullness thereof. But he says, if you are my disciples, you'll continue in my word. So that loyalty comes to Jesus Christ. So we're going to do things. We're going to fall. And that's what the devil loves to you. Oh, I seen you did this once before. I was telling you about that last week. They're going to try to come back and tell you because of some work. That's the error of Balaam. We're not talking about that today. We're talking about the doctrine of Balaam. You have to know doctrine before you can distinguish the error of the way of Balaam. But see, there's no guilt or condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. You can't let anybody make you feel guilty and condemned about anything in your life. If you in Jesus, you won't pay them a shred of attention. That you know you have a Savior, and it's nothing you can do to me or say against me. And he says, I'm blessed, and whom he blessed, you can't curse. Balaam couldn't figure that out. That God had blessed this person. God had blessed David. David committed adultery. David committed murder. But whom God blessed, he blessed. Now David caught hell in his life. He said the sword won't ever depart from your house. David saw his son rape his daughter. David saw his sons kill one another. David saw his son try to kill him and had to flee for his life barefooted. All because he let down his guard. He allowed sexual immorality with Bathsheba to creep in. But the promises of God are sure. He didn't take any of that. He said, I put away your sin, David, but I'm going to work on you. I'm going to work on you, and the sword will never depart from your house. If you are a child of God, my sons are my sons and my daughters are my daughters. Job understood that though God slew his sons and daughters, they still was his sons or daughters. If your son's a crook and he's in jail, that don't mean he's not your son. You just got a crook for a son. But you can't deny him physically because he's out of you. If you are born of God, you are what you are. By the grace of God. So he's going to have judgment on the flesh peddlers. But you see, if you allow someone to come in with some other doctrine, they can misscrew you on that. You misscrewed the word of Scripture. That's why Peter tells, said, Paul, the preaching of Paul, others wrestle with to their own destruction. Now, watch this. We fit to get off into something here a little bit higher than I wanted to. The book of Amos says, second chapter, this is what the Lord says. The people of Judah have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. His people have sinned again and again. They have rejected the instruction or the doctrine of God, refusing to obey his decrees. They have been led astray by the same lies that deceived their ancestors, the very same lies. So I will send a fire, in other words, of war and conquest and destruction by the Babylonians, up on Judah, and it would devour the strongholds of Jerusalem. The people of Israel have sinned again and again and will not let they've sold you out for money that they can party on the weekends. They'll take your health care, and they say maybe 20 or 30 million may be cast off the rolls because they don't want to sacrifice more. People want to live the luxurious life themselves. But here's where Balaam come in at. And I don't want to be Balaam. I want to set this right, the teaching. And that's why I said don't want to be in the habit of judging other preachers or teachers, because you understand to be able to judge someone, you would have to know all of their motives. You have to
You would have to sit and listen to all their sermons and teachings. You would have to follow them. That's why judgment is in the hands of God. Let me give you some teachings that I taught earlier. And that if somebody just listened one or two of our sermons or listened on and off, or you are of the flesh and you in a church or something, you would take something and run with it without reading the whole directions. You ever read something and it sounded good, but they say, well, you better read the rest of that. Read the small writing. It says the devil's in the details. The devil's in the details. You can deny the faith. Now we'll walk and talk and behavior. What are your actions? Does the Bible tells us to abstain from all appearances of evil? It tells us to abstain from that. In other words, it's all right to do something for the widow woman or whatever, but can I ask you not to go over to the widow woman's house in the middle of the night, or this person that has lived a promiscuous lifestyle, that people may interpret it the wrong way, it may not look appropriate, that may can turn into something. You putting yourself in the company of this young man, of this young woman, and that's where you get into it with dating, and people ask you about, is it right to date or whatever? What happens if you're dating and the dating goes too far, that the physical comes in, that you become involved, and after the physical come in, then you make a excuse, well, we go get married. Yeah, but you're sinning now, though. You're sinning now. What happens if you're kissing and hugging and physically takes over? Or should you do like Joseph? When Potiphar's wife presented herself to Joseph, he fled, he ran. And it was a New Testament time. But he knew what one thing can lead to another. Man don't just sit out to commit adultery on his wife. He don't just sit out to leave his home and leave his children. It starts with a look, like Eve looked in the Garden of Eden. He says, look at that tree. You start counseling and talking with this woman as this man or someone other than your spouse. And before long, that's going to turn into something you didn't imagine it was going to turn into. How many people said we didn't know it was going to go this far? You didn't know that sin was going to escalate this far. Many of people that just buying a few scratch-offs or whatever, they're to the point now that they can't stop buying. They budget that into their income. They budget that in before they pay light bills and things, that I got to get a certain number of scratch-offs. I got to pay, or what it is, pick six or whatever, that Wednesday or Saturday night, something that's coming out. You get to where alcohol is a part of your budget. It's a part of your budget. It would be better to lay those things aside, because you may could get high on God. It says be drunk in the Spirit, doesn't it? Yeah. Be drunk with the Spirit. So if you can replace, that's what it says, that when a man rejects to get rid of these or cast the old spirits out. And that's why I say lay aside every weight and sin. I'm not saying drinking and doing eating and doing some of these other things are sin in themselves. But the other night my wife had cooked some good dinner, and I'm not, you know, it hadn't been a while since I did it. And I came in and it was so good, I ate a little bit too much. I ended up couldn't go into bed till about 1:30 or so. It really tore me up. I ate too late, and I ate too much. That's where it became a sin. That's where it interfered with me. So long as you're in this body, we have to be careful of the things that we do, because that'll end up controlling you. That'll end up, and God has set certain specifics out, and that's what Balaam does. It leads you astray. I told you Balaam was an ism. Balaamism. It's a system, and that's what this world does. It shows you that nice car, television, or something that's easy to get, but it doesn't show you along the way that you're not going to be able to pay tithes to God. It doesn't show you along the way that you're going to start having to work day and night, and you start missing the forsaken together of yourselves together. They have all kinds of things. A lot of times preachers have to take in a sacrifice of themselves. I remember the movie where, I just forgot this guy's name, of Thy Kingdom Come, Cedric the Entertainer or whatever. He went out and ate something he wasn't supposed to eat. And it's like me, it's like a lot of other preachers or people. When you do those things, you might have to take Alka-Seltzer or something to stop you, because there are things that we do as humans that God has put here to get us back on track. And the Word of God keeps us on track. But sometimes we need a panacea. The Word of God in prayer is our panacea. He says if you're sick or you're so sad or whatever, sing hymns. Go read your Word if you're down and depressed. Don't go pick up a wine bottle or something to drink and say, I just want a pick-me-up or something to feel good. You need that adrenaline rush, because you scratched off two of these tickets and you see the little apples or limes or whatever. All you need is that one more. That's an adrenaline rush, and your body gets addicted to that. It's addicted to that double that it sees or whatever. You may not want to place that before you. You might want to keep that away. That's why it says, if your hand offend you, cut it off. If your eye offend you, pluck it out. Because Jesus said, he who looketh after a woman who lusts after have already committed adultery. So we see the idea of viewing people as nice things. It's not the problem. But when it goes to the point of lusting, you may need to stay away from the beach or stay away from looking at women that are claddily or scantily dressed or whatever. Because it's going to take you further. That's why I say I've already committed adultery. Because now you've conceived this in your heart, and that desire there. And when lust have conceived, it bringeth forth sin. All these things, everything in the world can be used in a perverted way. And God not only judges you, it also judges that. So you can say that that woman or that man caused you to sin. But the prohibition is against them also. Because lasciviousness. If these women, these Moabite women or whatever, they were dressed in a lascivious manner. Okay? Or the men were dressed in a lascivious manner. I thank God for the women that dress to come into this church, dress appropriately. And then it's some perverts that may go off on you dressed appropriately. We're not speaking to perverts now. But we dress talking about people that's dressed in a lascivious way. In other words, drawing attention. Where women come to church or out in the public and everything with short shorts on and portions of the body revealing things, and men dress or do things to attract people. That's lasciviousness. It's lewdness. You can dress or speak in lewd behavior or manner, and God eventually judge you for those things. Okay? So we can deny the faith by our actions. And that's what I was saying. By the actions of this man, he's denying God. Because what counsel do you have, association should you have with this type of individual? Balaam shouldn't have been associated with Balak, just as a child of God shouldn't have any associations with the infidel. And that's even in the secular realm. That's, don't a parent try to instruct his children not to be with this person, not to be with that guy that he's no good, honey, and he's going to lead you astray, or that person's a thief or a drug addict, and it's not good for you to associate with that. They're like Balaam. They're wrapped up in an enigma. He says, beloved, while I'm making every effort to write about you about the common salvation, this is Jude, he says, I was compelled to write to you urgently, appealing that you fight strenuously for the defense of the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed. They are ungodly persons whose condemnation was predicted long ago. For they distort the grace of our God into decadence and immoral freedom. viewing it as the opportunity to do whatever they want. That's what's going to happen to this nation. It has fallen. Babylon is fallen. Now, it's fallen spiritually. A lot of people won't see this in the physical till it's too late. That's why it says sudden destruction. But those that are in God can see that it's gone. After this last election, it's to turn the curve. It's no coming back, because it has to be purged. It has become a den of harlots, a den of thieves. It has become the great Babylon. So what we must do now, what we must do is a cleanup effort. In other words, we must solidify ourselves and those that are around us, because there's a lot of characters that become fixed and fitted in. Jude goes on to pronounce this woe upon these people. It says, "Woe to them, for they have gone the defiant way of Cain. For profit they have run headlong into the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of mutinous Korah. These men are hidden reefs, elements of great danger to others, in your love feast, when they feast together with you without fear." In other words, they come into the churches and they speak words of God, and here one of them is going to Liberty University. Always go to a fallen university. Go to a religious institution that's educating the young people and everything, and corrupt them. It's like the screw tape letters. See, Satan is corrupting religion utterly. And he's getting through the Christian, and that's the way in. His ministers are undercover agents transforming into this. They're transforming the world, and it's gone. We can see this, and God's people are working hard right now to teach it and preach it to God's people that are in this end day fight. That's why you have to make peace and talk nice and enjoy the time you have with some of us, because we won't continue to fight this battle, because we're not prepared to give all that needs to be given. We have to be fully committed. And to some of us, that's not within us. Clouds they are, swept along by the winds. Autumn trees, fruit without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted in life. So the conclusion here is repent. And repentance turns on the light of discernment and communication with God. If you've turned to God and God has to grant you repentance, God will start giving you the light. As you seek God and seek the kingdom of God, he gives you strength to pull off this tabernacle, to mortify the deeds of the body. So you have to stop rebelling in that you know is wrong. God has told you that instead of just listening at this, ask God for the strength to start putting these things down that's hindering you from running this race. These are weights and sins in our lives. With those weights and sins, it's going to be people we have to put off. And that's why Paul was talking about separation. Sometimes the wife has to go away, the husband has to go their way. And I'm not saying divorce. Read the book of Corinthians. Paul's saying that sometime the husband and the wife, it's going to be better that you're apart. And then God may grant you knowledge or understanding to see, I was better off with my wife. I was better off with my husband. But why are you seeking that right? Don't go off and through the lust of the flesh have relations with another man or another woman. Then you defile the flesh. Then you can't reconcile to your husband or wife. The separation has to be because of God. To serve God, this is the only way you can do this, is serving God. That's why Paul said if the wife want to be reconciled to the husband, or the husband want to be reconciled to the wife, let them take them back. Because God hates divorce. So he don't want you to divorce. But before you let your wife or your husband drag you down with a bad habit, say, well, honey, I just rather you go the other way. Hadn't any of your parents ever told you, say, well, look, son, you will have to just leave out the house. I'm going to have to put you out of here because you can't listen, and what you're doing will bring trouble on the rest of the house. It's going to stop the other children. I'm just not going to allow this. And then months or years later or whatever, they come back, Daddy, Mom, you was right. I understand. I see now. But you have to hold your ground. You have to hold your ground. Women, don't let men drag you down. Men, don't let women drag you down. They went to these feasts, but they didn't have to go with these women. They wanted to. Don't say, well, she made me. Like I said, man can't make you do anything. It's because you wanted to do it. There was something in you that wanted this. Adam wasn't deceived. Adam willfully disobeyed God. But if we want to grow by the grace and nature of Almighty God, we would study His Word and pray to Him, turn to Him, and be overcome. He said He'll give you the hidden man. In other words, He'll start revealing words at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He'll start revealing words that's going to empower you to follow Him, to pull off this. If you search in the Scriptures, search and plead with God and walk in that He had given you to walk with. One day you'll see your wife in a different light. You'll see your husband in a different light. You see your parents and your children in a different light. Right now you're walking in darkness and you can't see past the horizon because you're dwelling in darkness. God will pull you away from that if you fully commit your ways unto Him. Fully commit yourselves. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit and hypocrisy, jealousy, all kinds of unkind speech. Like newborn babes, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. This is not easy. It's not easy. You will have to afflict yourself. He says, afflict yourselves and mourn. Blessed are those who mourn, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those. I know it's not easy. This is a struggle. And things that we've been doing over a lifetime, I know we just can't stop overnight. But we will have to put a stop to it. God's the only one can do it. You already know these things. Be on your guard. Then you will not be carried away with the error of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Because if you're standing on slippery rocks, you can't pull up nobody else. You have to make sure you have sure footing and on a solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Those who do wickedly against this covenant shall wax corrupt with flatteries. And that's all I've seen Christians this week. Supposedly Christians are flattering what's deceit, evil, and wickedness. Whether call me as righteous or unrighteous, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, and the end thereof is death and destruction. If you do someone wrong, that wrong's going to come back. There's a law of sowing and reaping. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. God's people are out there. If you do what's right, if you're doing the right thing, if you're leaning not to your own understanding, if you're trusting in God, He's going to strengthen you through His Spirit, His Word. Trust not in yourself. It's nothing you can do, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It has to be through Christ's leading, His guiding. Balaam, if you notice, he did augury and enchantments and everything when he seen God was telling him these things or doing certain things. A lot of times people start enchanting and doing things when they think they're in control. God has to put an end to that. God puts an end to your confidence has to be in God. God, this doctrine. God, the gospel with your heart. This teaching. Stand up on it. Heavenly Father, as we come before You